Today, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and flip over to Romans chapter 14. Get yourselves to Romans chapter 14. And while you're returning, I'm going to say a few things and get you ready. I'm going to take a little risk today, touchy subject that I'm going to approach. And you'll understand as I get into this, and I'm going to be very careful about what I say and how I say it. So if I look like I'm reading a little bit more than usual, I'm trying to be very careful to say what I say because I'm going to be controversial. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm going to hit on a hot topic that's going to have a lot of people. And I want you to be careful to listen to what I say so that you know, don't, if I go a direction you feel like it's the wrong direction, you might find out later I'm going the other direction. Because somebody says, what, are you two minds about this? Well, you'll understand it better as we go. But yeah, you're probably at chapter 14, and I'm not going to go there quite yet. Let me just read to you from Ephesians. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? No. We're not there yet. But that's why people like me are around. The goal is to try to move us that direction. We're not there yet. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men. Everybody say trickery of men. Okay, you'll understand why that's important when I get a little further. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so I love you, so I'm going to share some things with you. You're all going, what is he going to say? Is he dangerous? It really shouldn't be that dangerous because I'm only going to talk about life and death issues. I'll get there, girl. Patience. I want you to listen to everything I'm saying because I want this to be available also to other people later because you may want to share it. Maybe you won't. Maybe it'll crash and burn. But maybe it'll be worth that. So like every Sunday, I want to start out by saying what I want to do today is equip you. I want to give you some stuff that you can use, some equipment. And that's my goal really every Sunday. And today might feel a little bit more life and death than any other Sunday. The truth of the matter is, I'm more about eternal life and death than life and death. And if you're worried about life and death and not worried about eternal life and death, you've got yourself flipped over the wrong way. Okay? Got it? I want to be focused on the reality that I'm here a very short time until I'm there. And God's in control of how long I'm here. How many of you believe God's in control of how long you're here? Oh, so you're not in control of how long you're here? What? I thought it was totally up to you. Now, there may be some doctrinal stuff in there that, you know. But for the most part, I believe God is in control of how long I'm here. And I'm trusting him every day for that. If I give you equipment, it's not up to me to make you use it or tell you how to use it. My job is not to tell you what to do, it's to give you stuff and let you learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that you can do with the equipment what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Got it? Okay, good, good. You're like, get to it already. Just be patient. You're going to get it. Maybe when I'm done, I'm going to get it. I don't know. A lot of leaders, though, miss this idea of helping people, equipping people, preparing people. They like to think as leaders, they're supposed to tell people what to do. Have you noticed that some leaders are like that? They're better than you. They know better than you. They're more important than you. And you better or else. Exactly. I am not into being large and in charge, nor do I desire to order people around. Never have, never will, but I would like to give you some good stuff. And by the way, some of those people that are like that, and some of them, by the way, are quote-unquote clergy, which I refuse to be, but that's another subject for another time. Some of them are political leaders. Some of them are, you know, work leaders. Some of them are different places. There are people, you've seen these people, you had to experience these people. They have a my way or the highway kind of an attitude about everything. I do believe there's times when a boss or a leader may have to say, well, this is the way we're going to do it. And, you know, suck it up, buttercup, and this is the way we got to go. But nevertheless, there is a kind of an attitude, especially in the day we're living in, where some people who have to tell everybody what to do and want everything done exactly the way they want it, they use a lot of, and when you don't do it exactly the way they want to, instead of just giving you instruction and explaining why that's important, they want to manipulate you. How many of you ever felt like you were being manipulated? Okay, and few people put up their hands. How many of you have been manipulators? Okay, every hand should go up. You have. You know, there's times when we're trying to get things done and we don't realize that we've slid into coercing people or using tactics to try to get them to do things that they may not feel like they should do. So it's not where God wants us to be. And by the way, manipulation is it's witchcraft light. So yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. So again, today my goal is to give you some information that will give you the ability to create a formation inside of you, a formation specific to you. That's what I really want you to remember too. Whatever I say today, you need to remember this is on you. I'm trying to give you equipment for you to build something that you can then use. Okay? Good. So has anybody besides me noticed things are getting a little crazy? World's kind of nuts, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And if you are not aware that the world's getting crazier, let me know what vacuum you are living inside, and I will seriously consider joining you there a lot of days. I'm like, you know, let's just go over there. I think more people probably need to go fishing. That's just go out by a stream and spend the day and let the fish talk to you. It'd be good. In just the next few weeks, however, people are going to be asked, and in some and many cases pressured, to do something. I'm not going to say what that something is, but I think you all know what I'm referring to. The reason I'm not going to say what that something is because if you use certain words, there is this streaming thing going on where they just remove you. And I don't want to be removed. I want to have a chance for this again to possibly be shared. So forgive me for being a little cryptic. Now, concerning this decision that people are being more and more asked to get on board with, and some seem to not be, probably for the wrong reasons, and some seem to think that everybody's got to be, and that's probably not based on good reason either. And some have not made up their minds. And everybody needs to figure out this for themselves, in my opinion, but we'll talk more about that based on Scripture in a moment. But I am about to do the attempt to do the impossible. Yeah. I'm going to give both sides, those who have and those who have not, reinforcement for what they will choose or have chosen. What? You can't be on both sides of the issue. Yes, yes I can. And I'm going to show you scripturally. All right, you ready? I already got one half of the room upset with me for one thing and another half of the room upset me for, well, maybe not halves. There's probably a group in the middle that are going, well, Pastor Tim, how are you going to do that? All right. For months, I mean literally months, from way back in early 2020, I have had the scripture from Romans chapter 14 weighing on me. And I've been thinking about it, meditating on it, and trying to figure out if I was supposed to say something out of it. And I kept getting, not yet, not yet. Today's yet. The implications of this chapter are powerful for the day that we're living in. So we're going to go through the entire chapter. I am not going to exhaustively teach on the entire chapter. Ain't going to happen. I have taught at a college level the book of Romans before. And I can spend a ton of time in this chapter. But I've been a little long the last few weeks, so I'm going to try not to do that this week. So chapter 14 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. All right. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. You know, there are some things that are absolute. There are some things that are absolutely absolute. The NIV says, accept one who is weak in the faith without quarreling over disputable matters. There are some things that we're not absolutely confident about. We can't be absolute. And nobody that I know of is absolute on certain things or on everything. Well, some people, have you noticed that some people are absolute on everything? Everything they do is absolute. I'm sorry. I absolutely reject that. Wait a minute. Does that even work? But I can tell you this. You know, 40 years ago I started pastoring and I was a whole lot more sure of myself back then than I am now when it comes to certain things. And I could be a little more legalistic back then. And that just made me a little more of a Pharisee, quite honestly. So right now, there are voices who are screaming, follow the science! And others just have questions. And I've been listening to the news. And I've heard what some people have said, some people who are supposed to be in authority. And then I've heard them have to make changes. And then have to make changes again. And there's a lot being said about follow the science, but I heard somebody just the other day, and I've heard it multiple times come out of certain people's mouths, that the science is ever evolving. Okay, I kind of get it, but at the same time, that means that, you know, certain things that we hold to be permanent truths, are they evolving too? And by the way, some people are saying yes. I think I told you a while back, there's an argument over whether 2 plus 2 actually equals 4 all the time. Yeah. So, yeah. It's kind of, things are changing and it's hard for us because we feel like we don't know where to stand. And so I'm going to suggest today that we stand on the Word. How's that sound? How many think that's a safe place to stand? Yeah, I think so too. So I don't say all this to pick a side even. I'm just pointing out that there are legitimate disputes, and right now I think there are some legitimate questions at least that people are asking. And Paul is giving us some good advice about these kind of problems in this chapter. Verse 2, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you? Maybe the most important verse in my heart in this chapter, which I've had this in my head for decades. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. I'm sure the argument might be made that what I'm referring to cryptically and what we are struggling with is more important than what's being talked about in this chapter. And that may or may not be true. We could talk about that sometime if you have a question along that line. But I do believe that the principles found in this chapter apply across the board from disputes over what seems stupid maybe to us as we look back, although it wasn't stupid to the people at the time. Just so you know, by the way, what was being argued about here was that some Christians were eating food that had been sacrificed to idols. And once it was in the sacrifice, then it was butchered, and then it was sold in the market, or it was offered to them if they were eating a meal with somebody else. And that created some problems that Paul then wanted to talk about. And he also mentions a couple other things here, but I'd like to think that as people of faith, and so I'm addressing you particular, maybe a person who might be watching who is a person of faith, maybe somebody who has no faith, but as people of faith, I like to think that each of us is doing our best to listen to God's voice and making our decisions about what we do in all things, especially important things, all things, though, in prayer. What we need to do. It's a good idea, anyway. If you haven't tried it, go for it. You'll like it. Therefore, I think it's imperative that we as believers do all we can to do what I just read, avoid judging others. Because that's not something that's happening right now in the world in which we live. And I think it's especially true as we deal with this household of faith. Verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Everybody say, own mind. Yep. How many of you got one of those? How many of you have been told you're out of it? Okay, all right. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. If you're uneasy with what another person is doing, I understand, and it's not completely like I'm saying that's wrong, but be sure that it's not because you haven't been fully convinced in your own mind. And so your uneasiness towards someone else and maybe your negativity towards someone else is raising up inside of you because you're not convinced about what you are doing or have done or are about to do. Okay. But in your defense, when you feel that way, because I know I do, it is hard when even the authority seem to be waffling back and forth day by day. So whatever we choose to do, each of us should be doing what we do, as I said before, prayerfully and as unto the Lord. That's what that last passage talked about, as unto the Lord. I do what I do as unto the Lord. I do it for that reason. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. There are a lot of people freaking out there in the world, and there's a great deal of fear driving stuff that is out there. We should not participate in that. We should not be part of that kind of fear. And you cannot be part of that. Perfect love casts out fear. So start grabbing that love of God, that love of what he's done for you, and that love that he's given us for each other. Let that drive out the fear. We are the Lord's. And I don't know about you, but you can't threaten me with heaven. Let me say that again. I don't know about you, but you can't threaten me with heaven. In fact, some of you remember we went through a little bit this time a year ago. I was going through it with my dad. And there was a couple of times when he was making it very clear to me he was ready to go, even anxious. One time he was in the hospital and stuff started to happen and I was watching it and I finally called the nurse. I said, "What is happening here?" And she goes, "Well," and then she hit this machine and then her eyes got real big. And the next thing you know, she's scrambling around. And I'm pretty sure if I had waited 5 more minutes, Dad would have gone to be with Jesus. And later I said something to him about it. And he goes, "Why did you do that?" "Sorry, Dad." You couldn't threaten him with heaven. He really was. He was, you shouldn't have called her. "Well, Dad, I don't know. Verse 9, "For to this end Christ died and rose again, and rose and lived again, that he might be both, or Lord, both of the dead and of the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God.' So then, each of us will give account of our lives to God." As much as I want to try to be accountable to people around me, and I think there's value in that, so don't misunderstand. But how many of you know, when it's all done, when it's all said and done, when we've reached the end of everything, I won't be looking at you saying, "Well, here's why, I'll be looking at God. So I want to strongly encourage all of us to remember that we have, or that we should have, an eternal perspective that keeps everything in place. And when we walk in that eternal perspective, it can help us greatly deal with these momentary, what do you mean momentary? This could go on for decades. Momentary stuff that we sometimes have concerns about. So that should rule over everything we do. Verse 13, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind," everybody say your mind, here we are again, "not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something unclean, then for that person, it's unclean." You know, I'm thankful this church family has avoided some of the headbutting. In fact, I really don't know that there's been hardly any headbutting. There was a little bit of, you know, trying to scratch our heads and figure out among the leadership when this whole mess started back last year. But there hasn't been the kind of stuff that I've heard about and I'm aware of in other churches. And there'll be one church who everybody decided to agree on something, and those who didn't need to get out. And right down the road's another church that has the opposite, and those who don't agree with them need to get out. This is not the Spirit of the Lord. And I want us to be very careful to continue to have what we have had. Because I don't want to be proud in a wrong way, but I'm pretty proud of y'all that you've loved each other through some stuff where there was kind of, "I don't know about that guy." Or, of course, you get up every Sunday and you look up front and you go, "I don't know about that guy." So maybe that's why it was so easy for you. Verse 15, "If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil." Another version says, "Do not let your good be spoken of as evil." You know, some people want to flaunt their positions and be applauded for being on the right side of things. Again, let's be filled with love and compassion and not pride and arrogance. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. We are kingdom people. On earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. That's what we're after. I think we're the kind of people who realize we're just trying to do what we can here before we go there. And we want to help establish the kingdom here in every way and in everything we do. So our decisions should not be about what is best for each of us individually. Let me say that again. I've written this way, and maybe I haven't written it correctly. So if I say something today that doesn't quite make sense to you because your English is different than my English, okay? Because sometimes the way we try to express ourselves, we're not, no matter how hard we try, we don't clearly express ourselves. Does that, and it make sense? Yeah. And I've heard a lot of preachers, by the way, they say something, and if you listen to the whole context, you understand better what they meant, but you pull it out of context, and you pull it out of who they are, and you pull it out of what you know about them, and they sound like complete idiots. So I'm trying to express something here. Our decisions should not be about what is best for each of us individually, but about what is best for His kingdom, and letting that direct each of us individually. Let me read it again, because you're going to have to maybe think, he's going to make me think today, Martha. I didn't want to come in for a thinking sermon. Oh. Our decision should not be about what is best for each of us individually, but about what is best for His kingdom and letting that direct each of us individually. Jesus did not walk thinking about what was best for Him individually. He walked thinking about what was best for His individual situation in order to accomplish what He was sent to do. I would rather die, and sometimes that's called martyrdom, than fail to do my mission. I don't want to get up to heaven and have 180 years, as I've said so many times, of life. And He's looking at me like, I gave you all that extra time and you still didn't get it? Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for the person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that would cause your brother or sister to fall. So Paul's repeating himself a little bit here, and when you see somebody do that in the scripture, it's because God's making an emphasis, and He's urging us to do as much as we can not to cause someone else to stumble. That's important, not to cause someone else to stumble. Then the next two verses kind of finish off things and clear things up. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. I'm not saying you can never have conversations with other people when it says keep it to yourself. It's when you see somebody who obviously isn't on the exact same page as you, it's not time for confrontation and judgment and all those things. You might ask some questions. They might ask some questions. You might learn a few things. How many think we can learn from each other? Yeah, that's a big deal. And that's why we want to do all this in love and just continue to love each other, even if someone seems to be off the rails in some direction. And there are directions on both sides where you can go off the rails. You haven't forgot what I'm talking about, have you? So the bottom line is this. We all may be made or forced to make some choices in the next few months. And as believers, our choice must be able to be done in faith. Because if it's not faith, if it's just reason and not faith, if you're not knowing your knower that this is the way God wants you to go, and you feel like this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do my best to do what God wants me to do, then it might be sin. That makes sense? And so, you know, there have been people who had this idea or that idea about things, and I had no compulsion to go that direction. I was free. I've told this story before. I'm excited because I'm getting ready to see Sam again. Sam and Gene and Tony, the guys in the band, we've been in communications because next month we're going to play together again after 40 plus years. And when we lived in the house together in Logan, I had this little thing that I did. Some of you remember telling me that I decided to get a Sherlock Holmes pipe because I love the smell of pipe tobacco. Certain ones are just, in fact, wasn't somebody supposed to find me a candle that smelled like cherry pipe tobacco? She's working on it. Okay, yeah. You know, because, oh, it just smells so good. And maybe that was because my great-grandpa always had a pipe. And always, you know, and I just enjoyed that I would see him, and maybe it was my memory of him. So I tried to smoke a pipe, and it really killed poor Sam, one of the guys in our band. He was just up to here with, you know, how dare you smoke? You know, and he knew I loved Jesus, so it just bugged him to death, you know, that I was puffing on a pipe. What I found out, by the way, was the more I puffed on it, I could taste it. And the ones that smelled good tasted bad. And the ones that tasted good smelled bad. And I wasn't inhaling anyway because I never did figure that out. I don't know how anybody ever got to that point because I tried it once and hacked my lung up. And I thought, that hurts. I'm not doing that. I'm not coughing like that ever again. And coffee, forget about it. It just never could acquire the taste. So I'm not going to force myself to acquire a taste for something I don't like. I'm a wimp when it comes to that stuff. I'm not pushing. My granddaughter just got her ears pierced. You women. Holy cow. They did one at a time. We were cowards when we took Sonia in. It was like two girls on one side. Boom. All at once. And then showed her the mirror. And then she was happy. Even though it hurt. Not Remy. One at a time. She gets the first one done. And it hurt. Those of you who have had it done. I don't know, really. I'm not going to do that. But she had, and she's, okay, you ready to do the second one? And I'm thinking, why you do that? That hurts. Some people, what they'll do for good looks or whatever. So, you know, I want to do everything in faith. And if God tells me I got to get my ear pierced, I guess I will. But I'm a big sissy, and that doesn't sound good to me. God, if God, yeah, knows. Yeah, I can just see that. The thing would get a little infection in it, and I'd be up here looking like Rudolph. And I won't be getting a tattoo, but that's not because I'm against them. I just know in my case, it would not be appropriate to put graffiti on a Rembrandt. Okay, so moving on. Because I believe that no one should be forced to do something that might violate their faith, this church and I, let me say this again because I got too many people still laughing. Because I believe that no one should be forced to do something that might violate their faith, this church and I will confidently stand with those, both those who do and those who do not decide to eat meat. We'll call it. You know what I'm referring to. But those who do and those who do not decide to eat meat. I am available, by the way, to have conversations with anyone, each of you, and specifically about your specific situation. Because I also think that every single person in here has specific things about this whole situation that they have to pay attention to. And someone says, so you're saying Holy Spirit might tell one to do one thing and one to do another? Be Bingo! Back to my story with Sam. So I was puffing on it for about 6 months. Sam was twitching for about 6 months. And then one day he walked up to me and he said, "You know, Tim, I was praying about this and I really feel like this is a disputable matter and it's up to you and the Lord." And I went, "Thank you, Sam." And I went and got a shower because I had just got home from work and I was dirty. And I'm standing in there in the shower and the Lord said, "Do you need to smoke that pipe?" "Well, no, Lord, I don't." "Then stop it." What? And that was it. After that, for me to continue to do it would have been sin. Because God spoke to me specifically about my specific situation. So apparently he let me do it for a while just because he was messing with Sam. And then all of a sudden he was like, "That's stupid, stop it." And I'm not saying it's stupid for anybody else. It's just for me, he said, "Nope, you're done." How many of you know when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's not always applicable to everybody around you? Okay, that's what this chapter has been used over and over and over for centuries to talk about. So, I will say this, and I don't want to go too far with this, but I want to give it to those who are maybe struggling. I do have some, what I would consider to be indisputable information from a resource, and I think when you see it, you would agree, that does affect my personal willingness to partake in what looks to be a coming mandate. And I may be wrong about that, and I hope I am. The information I have makes it clear that this and other widely accepted remedies that are used all the time on people and have been for years, including on children, that they do have a connection to the use of fetal cell lines. And for some, but perhaps not all, believers, nor am I demanding that all believers see what I see or think what I think, but for some believers, that will be a problem. In conjunction with this medical information, I also have a statement from the Vatican. For those of you who are Catholic, I know some of you are like, "Sorry." Well, we are, after all, more Protestant than I think we would call ourselves Catholic. I don't think we would hardly fit with that. But the Vatican does give permission for people in the Catholic Church to accept this eating of meat, even though they also agree and point out that fetal cell lines were used in a way that they deem questionable. So, because of this information at this time, I am making my choice. But I will also be very careful about a whole lot of things in the future because of what I found out. For example, even including the shot for shingles. I had shingles. I had it very briefly, and after I had it, my wife was like, "That was great." I mean, it was a spot like, and it was gone in a few days. I just happened to see the doctor at the time that I had this little pop-up, and he says, "Yeah, that's shingles," and I prayed, and my wife got the shot. That vaccine was used, as far as I can tell. I don't have the specifics of which vaccine it was, but only recently did they come out with a new vaccine that has not been tested on fetal cell lines. So if you had the shingles shot, I have what might be uncomfortable news for you, but you did not know, and I do not feel like you are under any compulsion for self-flagellation or any feeling of anything. What you don't know sets you free from any responsibility. Somebody else is responsible for that, and I worry for them, but I won't worry for you. But now that I know this stuff, it's going to make me look carefully at anything that they want to give me in the future. So, if you look at a list, by the way, of choice meats that you may not want to eat, you will find that probably you and your children have already had something. You didn't know, but probably the large percentage of this room has already had something that was tested in that way. And so, again, I can refer you to the Vatican thing. You can look at that and you can decide, is the Pope got it right or does the Pope have it wrong? And that will only be decided by you doing something amazing. It's called talking to God and letting him speak to you. But even if you were to get it wrong, how many of you know there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Got it? All right. And again, I don't even know that I can say that I have the authority to speak with what was right and what was wrong. I just know after I prayed about it, when I found out what I found out, this is how I felt. Is that okay? And then if you pray about it and you feel differently after, then that's okay too. That really is. That really is. And by the way, if you think you know for sure what I'm going to do in the future concerning these things, I want to remind you, even the Apostle Paul could have moments where he made bold statements which were later overruled by the very unlegalistic leading of the Holy Spirit. How many know that Holy Spirit does stuff that flies in the face of legalism sometimes? For example, Paul told the Galatians, circumcision profits you nothing. And then a little later, he had Timothy circumcised. Now, we could go into the details of that, and that's another message all in and of itself. But the bottom line is, these things are not one size fits all. And that's why Bethel Church is here to stand with all of you. All of you. And some of you actually might need perhaps a letter or something helping you if you decide that you're not going to do something and you need someone to support you with it. Because there are sometimes religious exemptions for things. But that, again, is strictly up to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Can I get an amen? All right. Let me say also in closing that I am open to discussion about my own thoughts and that I might be persuaded by a godly person with strong scriptural reasoning. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, I was not a doctor or a scientist or any of those things. And this is what I'm going to lean on, the scripture. That's what I'm going to depend on because it's about where my pay grade is. You know, it's about what I can do. And I might be persuaded if somebody looks at these verses differently and sees something that I'm overlooking. Let's do that. Let's love each other so much that we don't spend all of our time trying to separate ourselves from other people to excuse or condone or make us feel good about what we decide. If it's Holy Spirit, that's all you need. me say that again. If it's Holy Spirit, that's all you need. You get to heaven, you stand before the judge. If you're listening to him, it doesn't make any difference what the whole world thinks of what you decided to do, as long as you did what you know he was leading you to do. Now, that being said, I've seen some people make some pretty outlandish decisions and blame it on God. So don't do that. I will counsel against that if I see that happening to you. All right? Good. Whatever happens, I will be holding on to verse 4, and let me read it again in closing. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand.